This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning with Philip C, and this is The Morning Run. And it has just gone past 7.05 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 20th of January. And in about 15 minutes, we'll get into Malaysia's legal action at the WTO against the EU with economist Kaw Yew Ling. But before that, markets.
Well, the US opened after a public holiday. Dow Jones up 0.4%, S&P up 0.8%, NASDAQ up 1.5%. While across in Asia, Nikkei was up 1.4%, Hang Seng positive at 2.7%, Shanghai negative at 0.8%, Singapore up 0.2%, while our home market FBM KLCI down 0.5%.
So for a little colour on where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Now, good morning, Jack. Now, how will Biden's policy on tech regulation compare to Trump's? And how do you think investors react if the likes of Facebook and other big tech come under more restrictions?
Yes, it's an interesting time. I think you're going to see the same type of target, but a different approach. I think there's an unwielding or yield within the global markets and around the world from governments to try to regulate tech, to try to bring them in line with the economy and to try to tax them more fairly than they've done previously. I think what you see from a Biden administration is he has a lot of support and a wave of bipartisanship on the back of this. So the first 3 to 6 months are going to be critical for the US government if they really want to get or regulate big tech. Now, what that means for the share price is a very different thing. We're talking about companies that are so diverse. I think the two big things are, will they break up someone like a Facebook or even a Google in terms of their search engine? That will have a negative effect short term on the price. But the bigger one is how they'll tax these companies. So we've got 130 countries around the world working together on how to tax big tech. And you've even got the Chinese counterparts in the last week who have talked about rethinking the way they tax big tech because, you know, of the nature of the global economy. So I think you've got a lot of headwinds. I think this is going to be the biggest story in the first quarter to 6 months. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
And Jack, related to this, right, is big tech, like you say, but how do you think their stock prices will perform? Are they still going to be a darling? Because if I look at it from a shorter term perspective from November till now, big tech has actually underperformed the broader NASDAQ.
It has, yeah. And we talked about this in the last couple of months. I actually think now you're seeing a re-move. So we talked about that move from September where we moved from tech, work from home, into the industrials, the reflationary trade. I believe that we're in the beginning of a move back into tech. So I actually really like these stocks over the next 3 to 4 months. The Netflix earnings that we saw this morning, which I think we're going to talk about, shows you that, you know, these companies are still doing really well. And it'll be interesting to see where they report in the next couple of weeks. But I actually think there's a move now, again, a cyclical move away from the industrials, the banks, the reflationary, back into the work from home and the big tech stocks.
Yeah, Jack, so you're right. Netflix is doing really well. The stock's up 11% after hours. They came out to say that they're close to being cash flow positive and subscribers numbers hit 8.5 million in quarter four. So do you think this will last in the following quarters?
I think the big number here is the 8.5 million. I think that is the key number that we need to look at in terms of investors. They are continuing to grow. I haven't seen the breakdown of the exact numbers of where it's grown, but I'm going to guess that most of these numbers or a big proportion of them were global growth outside of the US. And that's where the growth for Netflix is going to be over the next 2 to 3 years. What this shows, in my opinion, is that there can be two or three winners in this space. And the clear winners are going to be Disney and Netflix. I think this is a remarkable company. I think it's spending a lot of money on content, and I think it's only going to get better. And it is a name now. It has got a moat. Everybody knows Flix, Netflix and chill. Watch something on Netflix. This is a company that's going to be around for a long time, and I think it's going to dominate this streaming space. So I really like it, and the numbers were fantastic. And the growth in the numbers, I think, is what we should be paying attention to here.
Yeah, so you're right to say that, you know, a sign of dominance is when a company becomes a verb. So you feel Netflix and Disney can coexist together and thrive?
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you the thing about Netflix is they have been spending hand over fist on content now for 6 or 7 years. Disney's advantage is it has a wall of content. But anyone else, no one's been spending the amount of money on developing content. And when we talk about a wall of content, Netflix has a wall of content. You know, they have shows and names that we kind of watch again and again. And that's the true test of this type of streaming company. So I believe there's a place for both of them. And I think it's a duopoly. And I think these are the two winners in front of you right now. I struggle to see anyone testing their market share of both these companies.
Okay, and then moving on to some of the other tech names, right? Because I think 2020 was a bumper year for US tech IPOs like Snowflake. Now, this year, names like Stripe and Roblox aim to go public. So which US tech IPOs do you have your eye on this year, Jack?
I like Roblox. I'm be interesting to see how that goes. I've actually been reading a fair bit about that. The two that I've got under my radar is Coinbase, which is expected to go in February 2021. So they're talking about an estimated IPO valuation of $8 billion. But who knows with these valuations, right? It could be $16 billion by the time we get there with so much funny money in the market. I would love to see what's under the hood here. How much actual coin assets these guys have under management. So that's the one that I've got interested. And the other one is UiPath or ULPath, which is a robotics process automation platform. I think this is a real game changer in terms of that processing automation. So it's software for robotic processing, and that's due to go in March at a valuation of $16 billion. They're the two I've got my eyes on. And then I think it's going to be a year of SPAC, SPAC, SPAC. I mean, it seems like we've got a SPAC every 6 minutes at the moment. They are a key area to watch in the market.
And if we shift away from tech to financials, the US banks, JP Morgan, Citi, Goldman, Bank of America, all released earnings, pretty good numbers. What's your take on the numbers?
Yeah, a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, we saw Wells Fargo, I think it was on Friday, market didn't like that. Bank of America missed on a few, but Goldman's had a cracker of a report. A bit of a mixed bag. I have liked banks for quite a long time. I think you're going to still see a steepening of the yield curve. I think banks are still undervalued. Goldman's report was incredible. The trading numbers were up. I think these are a continued hold within a portfolio for the long term. I haven't crunched them as specifically as I wanted, but the Goldman's number was probably the best number ever in history for them. So I continue to like this sector.
Yeah, and moving on to Asia, I mean, Asian equity markets are currently seeing a slight risk aversion sell-off due to, of course, the rising virus cases. And so which equity market in this region do you see the best trade-off between risk and return for, let's say, the short term?
Yeah, I hate to sound like a broken record, but you know what I'm going to say here. But I'm going to say something a little bit different on a tweak here. I really like China for 2021, but if you've ever heard me before, it would be a lean towards Chinese tech. I'm actually leaning towards these Chinese industrials. So I really favor an A50 ETF. So something that tracks the Shanghai A50, even a broader, you know, Shanghai Composite 500 there, where you get Chinese banks, where you get Chinese airlines, where you get Chinese health companies, where you get Chinese manufacturers, Chinese industrials. These companies aren't listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. They don't have an ADR in the US. They're mainly domestic Chinese demand. And there's a couple of reasons why I like this play. One, I believe China's GDP is going to be 9% plus this year. I think they're going to grow expansionary. The second reason that I really like it is part of China's dual circulation policy. So the great thing about the Chinese economy sometimes is they kind of tell us the direction they want to go. And this dual circulation policy is going to favor domestic companies and favor domestic consumption and domestic demand. And it's those Chinese companies that we kind of don't know within the Chinese companies, within the Chinese economy that are really going to benefit. So my kind of best play here in terms of an ETF is a China A50, China broader domestic market that moves you away from or doesn't encapture the Barbers, the Tencent and the Meishuans and the JDs, but rather that reflationary trade within China. That's a market I really like. And then close to home, I think the Australian market's going to have a good year. We've got the virus under control. Economic activity is growing. We're going to start to open up slowly. I think we're going to have a bumper year locally here in the ASX.
Yeah, and as we conclude, Jack, I'm a bit miffed with Grab, you know, because Southeast Asian darling. Why are they mulling a US listing when its operations are all around Southeast Asia? Why not consider Singapore, Hong Kong?
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with you there. I think there's a few things. I think the exchanges are trying to entice them. I think the US wants to entice a big Asian powerhouse. They lost a few to Hong Kong, mainly Chinese, and we understand why that in the midst of a, you know, an economic war between these two nations. They might feel they'll get better institutional buying if it's listed there, so they'll get some more bigger cornerstone investors, and they might feel they can raise the money quicker there. I don't believe that. I think you can raise as much money in Asia. I think maybe it's more of a prestige thing other than that, but I do expect maybe that that will change as some of the exchanges in Asia try to compete for these types of listings. An interesting one, not out of the question, but let's see how that plays out. It's not a done deal yet.
So very quickly, will you buy? Yes or no? Or is it grab? Depending on valuations?
Is it grab?
Yes, yeah, grab.
I like this space in general. In general, I like the food delivery and the ride-sharing space, particularly the ride-sharing space. I think it's actually more profitable than we think, and I think the margins are going to continue to grow as you get two or three dominant players around the globe. I would have a look good at it. The one I'm really interested in is when Didi out of China looks to IPO, and you know I'm a big fan of Uber. So, you know, last year Uber was my number one stock pick in the US. I really like this space. I think there's a lot more growth in it. So I would have a real hard look at Grab, absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzid, Director of Strategy at VFS Group, giving us his views. And as usual, he's back to being a tech bull, loving big tech.
Although not in China.
Not in China. Well, he also did say, nonetheless, that there is value in the banking space. Incredible results from the likes of Goldman Sachs. Now, the question, of course, is can they sustain these numbers in the coming quarters, right? Because we've had conflicting news that perhaps, you know, we might see some loan loss provisioning, asset quality deterioration as government support comes down. But for a lot of these investment banks, it's trading income. So somewhat less, more insulated. So maybe that's why Bank of America results weren't that hot. But up next, we've got Malaysia's legal action at the WTO against the EU. Does Malaysia have a case here, or is this more symbolic? Stay tuned to find out. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.